Welcome back to The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
Natalie, how are you doing? Honest answers only.
Honest answers only. Well, I had a good time last night.
Yeah.
Say that.
And you're paying for it.
And I'm paying for it. Yeah. No, I went out dancing with a gal pal, and yeah, we closed down the club.
Yep.
And it was a good time. And I'm not 25 anymore, turns out. And I can't have as much revelry as I used to.
No. Then that's the whole story? You didn't want to tell any of the other parts of the story?
Oh, God. The worst part, I took an Uber, because I'm smart. I took an Uber. I'm so glad I did. The Uber drops me off to our front, pedestrian gate that is, it's locked, and you put in a code. The battery was out, and I couldn't get in.
Yeah, the code wouldn't work.
I started to panic, and I called David, maybe 13 times, and he was fast asleep because it was 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Did you call me that many times?
Yeah, check your call log. And then I was like, well,
this is five times.
I'm just sleeping outside, I guess. I was truly resigned to just shuffling the streets for the night.
Until I woke up?
Yeah, until someone opened the gate. But then I was I got so frustrated that I started trying to pry the gate open. Yeah. And I guess it woke a neighbor who is an angel among... she let me in, and I feel really bad, so I'm going to buy her a gift.
Yeah.
But I finally got in, and then I woke up David.
You woke me up at 3:30 in the morning and told me the whole story, and I felt terrible.
And then you also had a text message that said, just help me.
Just help me. Hold on. I had to check the timestamp on help me. 3:11 a.m. Yeah. Help me.
Yeah. I think I woke you up at 3:30 after
when you finally got in.
When I finally got in. So, yes, it was a lot. So I went to sleep finally at 4 and then woke up a few hours later because I always wake up early, even if I don't go to sleep. Yeah. So today's a rough day, but we persevere.
Yeah.
And I love that it's sunny out. It feels like summer in January here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's 77 degrees right now.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So I'm making the best of a tough situation. Friends and mothers, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done? Drunk.
Just that? Yeah. Oh, drunk. I was going to say friends and mothers, hangover cure? What's your go-to hangover cure?
Yeah. I think it's just not doing it over 40.
I mean, you got to live a little. I feel the only real hangover cure is
just
sleep. Go back to sleep and
I can't do
drink a bunch of water and go back to sleep. That's if you can. If not, you definitely sleep is the best. But if not, you definitely want to eat carbs and sugar.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Yeah. But I did deep clean the bathroom for some reason.
We did.
Yeah.
I didn't make you.
No, I know that, but
it was already what we had planned to do today.
Yeah. And you gave me an out. You're we don't have to do this today. I'm no, we have to. And I forced myself to do it. Yeah. And
This is, speaking of being in your 40s, this is our couple's plan for the weekend. We're going to get down on our hands and knees.
We're going to deep clean that tub. We're going to scour. Grab
between the tiles.
Yeah. I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, it looks great. I forgot what I was going to say. But I've heard and I've tried for hangover cures toast with honey on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. You know, you want some carbs.
I did have toast.
Yeah. The only real hangover cure is go back to sleep if you can. Mm-hmm. And then drink a bunch of water when you get up.
Well, let's see. Maybe the friends and mothers have
some sort of
secret magical potion.
All right. So this is not a podcast about hangover cures or fun nights out. This is a podcast about the television programs Friends and How I Met Your Mother. We watch an episode of each week, and we recap, compare, contrast. We have other fun segments. It's a great time, in case you're new to the show. We are on season 6, episode 18 of both shows. Season 6, episode 18 of Friends is called The One Where Ross Dates a Student. Season 6, episode 18 of How I Met Your Mother is called Change of Heart, or is it? It's a change of heart. Mm-hmm. We're going to put a pin in that heart, and we're going to start with season 6, episode 18 of Friends, The One Where Ross Dates a Student. So, in the cold open, we're at Monica and Chandler's apartment, and Ross comes in bragging about how he got a good teacher evaluation, mm-hmm. where one of his students called him a hottie.
Yeah, the hottie of the paleontologist department.
Yeah, yeah. Chandler has a joke about, like, hotties of the paleontology department being, like, a wall calendar or something. It reminds me of one of my favorite... Friends jokes when it's the one where no one's ready and Rachel like puts on a dress and she says to Phoebe like, does this look like something the girlfriend of a paleontologist would wear? And Phoebe says, I don't know, you might be the first one. Meanwhile, Joey's excited because he finds out that there's a new Al Pacino movie being directed by someone that Chandler was friends with in college. A woman named Dana something. I don't remember.
Dana Keystone?
Oh, that sounds right. Yeah. Yeah. Not Dana Kaplan.
Yeah.
She was the well-endowed one they went to college with that they talk about later. Dana Keystone. So Joey wants
Chandler. Did you recognize Dana Keystone?
No.
She's played by an actress named Bess Meyer.
Okay.
She was in Heathers.
Who was she?
I don't know, but I looked her up because she looked familiar.
Okay.
And she was also, did you ever see Parenthood, the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
She was in that too.
Huh, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Then,
it's a good movie though.
A bunch of other things that look
okay. Pretty. I watched Heathers a lot as a kid, but I haven't seen it in 20 years.
Yeah, I'm not sure
easily.
Who she plays.
Probably more. Okay, so.
Okay, I'm going to save this for later.
Oh, okay. So, next we find out there was a fire in Phoebe and Rachel's apartment.
Yeah.
Because Rachel calls home to check her messages, which is like something that I barely even understand. And I imagine younger people are like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
She's calling her own home?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never did that. I never checked messages, so I don't know.
I've done that.
Yeah, I don't really know how that works.
Firefighter answers.
The firefighter answers, which is funny. Let's see. And then they're all going over there. They're like, oh no, there's a fire. We better all go over there.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I understand why Joey wants to, because the audition is to be a firefighter, so he wants to do some research.
Yeah. He's a real method actor.
Yeah, yeah. So Ross is posting grades in the hallway. And a young woman, one of his students, played by Alexandra Holden, who is very familiar to fans of Drop Dead Gorgeous and Sugar and Spice. Do you remember Sugar and Spice?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. She's very familiar looking. I've already forgotten the student's name. I just wrote
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. I just wrote Alexandra. Elizabeth asks him out and reveals that she was the one who said that he was a hottie. Ross is under the impression that it is not against the rules for a teacher to date a student.
And that it's, in fact, just frowned upon.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. This is a storyline that is so weird.
Yeah.
24 years later.
Yeah.
And
we don't even know how old she is. We know that she's under 21.
Yeah. Well, I assumed she was 20.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
She could be 19.
Yeah, she's not old enough to...
She could be a teenager.
Yeah, she's not old enough to drink legally. At the ladies' apartment, everything in the bedrooms has been burnt, so they're going to have to stay with Monica Chandler and Joey while they... The place, I don't know, I guess they have insurance or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's not clear.
Yeah.
So Chandler goes out to coffee with Dana Keystone, but before he can... it's revealed that they dated once. They were friends in high school. They went on one date.
Yeah.
And Monica is, like, not super happy about this.
Yeah. Just because Chandler was being, like, cagey about it. a little bit about dating her once.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he was really trying to hide it, though.
Okay. He was trying to minimize it.
Yeah. Which,
yeah, I guess it's...
It is pretty minimal. It's just one time. Okay. I keep losing my place this time. Sorry. No, it's not your fault. Before he can ask if Joey can get an audition, she reveals that she's sick of people asking her for favors now that she's, like, a successful film director. Monica is so excited to have someone staying with her. She made up the guest room, which was always her plan, if you remember from way back when Chandler first moved in, because he wanted a game room, I think.
Yeah.
And she wanted a really nice guest room. And she's super excited, but only one of them can stay there. And Phoebe... Oh, right. It's... the firefighters think that it was a candle left burning or incense left burning that caused the fire. So Phoebe thinks it was her fault. So Phoebe says, okay, I'll stay over at Joey's. Rachel can stay in the nice Hotel Monica is what Monica calls it. Ross is on his date with Alexander. They're walking down the street getting eating ice cream, which is like, you know, it's my hang-up that I think...
You think eating an ice cream cone is childish.
Childish. But it fits here, because he's dating a child.
Yeah.
Not a real child, but, you know.
They should have had, like, rainbow lollipops.
She should have pigtails.
Yeah. like one of those little hats.
A spinner beanie thing.
Yeah.
Let's see. They're getting ice cream, but then they see a colleague named Bert... walking down the street, and Ross pushes Elizabeth out of the way. Then we find out the fire was actually Rachel's fault because it was a hair straightener that was left plugged in. Which is something that I worry about. Because you use one every morning, right? The firefighter's name is played by an actor named David Warshawski, who's been in like... He's a character who's been in a million things.
Catch him.
He's like one of the rich guys that Daniel Day-Lewis meets with in There Will Be Blood.
I need to watch that movie again.
Yeah, it's been a while. I weirdly, like, the main thing I think of, and I don't think you ever... Did you ever see... I know you're a big Me and You and Everyone We Know fan. Did you ever see The Future, Miranda July's other movie that she directed?
I did, yes.
You did?
Yes.
Do you remember the, like, kind of, like, sleazy guy that, like, hits on her? He wears a necklace that says DTF. And he's kind of, he, like, hits on her. That's David Warshawski. I like him. He's a good actor. Let's see. So, since we find out it was Rachel's fault, they switch apartments. Now, Phoebe's at Hotel Monica, and Rachel's staying at Joey's. Monica wants to make pie for Phoebe, which Phoebe's excited about. Let's see. Ross... Oh, yeah, there's a whole scene where Ross is, like, talking to everybody about how into this young woman he is, and says, like, she's mature for her age, and just all the things that, like... It's just weird that this isn't played for Ross is a Creep laughs, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Now Chandler's going to dinner with Dana, and Monica's really freaked out. But then at dinner that night, Dana thinks that Chandler is into him. And Chandler plays the sympathy card, pretends to be hurt, and uses it to get Joey an audition, which is a good friend of Janet being a good friend. Let's see. Monica made cookies. Oh, he also leaves Dana with the bill for dinner, which is funny. Monica made cookies for Phoebe. Phoebe tries to lock the door behind Monica. It doesn't lock. Phoebe's obviously getting sick of Monica hovering over her, because she made the cookies and she wants Phoebe to eat them right away while they're warm, but she can't eat them in the guest room because of crummies. No crummies.
And I guess she can't even eat them at the table or on the couch. Like, she has to eat them over the sink.
That's what Phoebe says. She has to eat them over the sink. Meanwhile, over at Joey's, he and Rachel are sitting and eating plates of spaghetti. There's no table. There never has been a table.
Yeah.
Or not since they broke the one and replaced it with a foosball table.
Yeah.
So those are just holding plates and sitting in front of the TV, eating spaghetti. And Monica or Rachel drops some spaghetti on the floor, and Joey's like, "That doesn't matter. Like, this is Joey's house," and he puts some spaghetti on the floor. But then, like, Rachel like drops some more, and he's like, "All right, don't waste it. It is food." And he eats the spaghetti off the floor. Like, he picks it up with his fork and puts it in his mouth off the floor.
Yeah.
Okay. Then Ross is at the coffee shop with Alexandra, and also this guy Bert just like must be following Ross around.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Real quick, would you rather eat carpet spaghetti or trash can eclair?
I mean, if it's the George Costanza situation where the eclair is on the doily on top of the trash,
okay,
and I had to choose between that or the carpet spaghetti, the eclair definitely.
Okay, eclair or street calzone?
We'll get to that later.
It's a little spoiler.
Yeah. Let's see. Ross is at the coffee shop with Alexander. Bert walks in and Ross hides it first, but then he's like, "You know what? I'm going to tell them. I'm going to be proud that I'm dating a student." And they immediately say, like, "Yeah, you're going to get fired. You can't do that."
Yeah.
Phoebe tries to convince Rachel to switch back to Monica's apartment because she's so sick of Monica being a helicopter host. And then Phoebe, we don't see the results of this, but she sees Joey and Rachel playing a game with wet paper towels thrown against the wall.
Yeah.
And she takes the wet paper towels over to Monica's, like she's going to try and get herself kicked out, basically.
Yeah.
So then at Ross's apartment, yeah, this gets weird. Ross is like, "Oh, it sucks. We had to break up." But then Elizabeth, is like, she thinks it's like hot that it's forbidden, you know? So they go at it. And that's kind of the end of the episode, except there's a tag at the end where Joey forgot to go to his audition, despite his mnemonic device, which we'll get to in funniest moments.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the end of the episode. Did I miss anything? Do you have any stray observations, or should we move on to funniest moments?
Stray observation, real quick. When Phoebe's at Monica's, she's wearing these like big boots and like puts them up on the sofa.
They do this all the time. There are always shoes on the sofa.
Yeah.
On this show.
And how does Monica? We've talked about it before. How does Monica allow it?
I know, right?
Yeah. yeah, that bothered me. That's it.
So let's move on to funniest moments. I'm going to steal the one that I mentioned. Joey's mnemonic device, remembering the days of the week, is so nonsensical in a way that like only makes sense to Joey. But he says Thursday, third day.
Yeah.
Monday, one day. Tuesday, 2 day. Wednesday, when? What day is it? I don't know. Thursday.
Wednesday, when? Huh? Yeah. That was definitely my first one.
I didn't understand. So Wednesday doesn't count because it's a question.
Yeah. I like the juxtaposition of like Monica like creating such a warm, homey environment for Rachel, and then when Joey is explaining the layout, like, this is where I keep the pizza, and this is where the napkin goes. And then in another scene, hey, where'd that napkin go?
Do you think Phoebe picked up the napkin and threw it away? That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, do you have more?
Yeah, I have one more.
Okay,
me too. After Phoebe gets offered cookies, but not in the room because of crummies, she comes over to Joey and Rachel's, or Joey where Rachel is, and Chandler's there, and Phoebe's like, "Oh, Chandler, Monica's looking for you." And he's like, "Why?" And she says, she said something about crummies, and Chandler goes, no, I was so careful.
And he runs to the apartment. When Chandler is calling Dana Keystone to try to like set up a time to meet with her, Joey's in the background like pantomiming certain things, and Chandler's like, "Wait, what is he trying to say? Hold on one second. What should I say? oh, I just was hoping we can get pizza after this.
Yeah. That reminds me of one of our fun, favorite stories from when we saw The Hangover in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
In Brooklyn, we saw The Hangover when we were hungover, because we were much younger then.
Yeah.
Don't know what that's like now.
Nope.
We never get hungover anymore. And there's a part where Zach Galifianakis, they're looking for something in the hotel room, and Zach Galifianakis, like, pulls a slice of pizza out of the couch and then takes a bite of it. Yeah. It's supposed to be gross. Like, yeah. Oh, did you just eat couch pizza or whatever? And then I heard the woman next to me lean over to her friend and say, do you want to get pizza after this?
Yeah. Did I tell you about... I know we've watched Bluey. Like, you've seen Bluey episodes.
I mean, we watched two with our friends and their daughter. That's the only time I've ever seen it.
Quite a bit, just like through my job as a social worker.
Sure, that makes sense.
But I saw one the other day, and the parents were clearly hungover, and that was like
that was the joke.
I mean, kind of like the parents were hungover, and I think it was Bluey who's like, "Well, so and so told me that like you were dancing on top of a table," and the mom's like, "Okay, well, moving on." Like, so they had like a raucous time.
Oh, that's fun.
And then we're like hungover and like didn't want to play with the kids.
Yeah,
they eventually like rallied and played with the kids, but like it's just so like relatable. I think that's why
kids and
adults like it.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what my version of Crummies is with you. Like, no, I was so careful, and this is what. This is one that's going to make me look bad. So we have our couch has armrests that are like flat and wide, and you don't like when I use the armrest as a surface, especially not for an alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
So yeah, if there's a highball glass or a can of beer on the couch, even though it stays fine, it's a wide like flat surface, but you hate it so much.
Okay, just because you brought it up, I will go into this just for a minute. Allow me to. So sometimes when you have like a crazy night of, well, you don't smoke anymore, but like drinking and smoking and watching movies up till late hours.
Yeah, I don't smoke in the
You completely destroy the living room. It's like a dorm. There's like cigarette packs, beers overturned, empty ones still. Like blankets strewn about, remotes everywhere. It's just
I stayed up and watched the movie and had like two beers and some cigarettes.
But it's like a tornado, and you just walk away. You don't like put anything in the trash. You don't like organize anything. Like when I'm done in there, I put the remotes back in their place. I fold up the blanket. I put it away. I don't leave shit around.
Yeah. Here's what you don't know is that the leaving shit around is not because I was drinking. It's that I didn't wake up before you and put it all away. I leave shit strewn all over the living room every night. It's just that most mornings I'm up before
That's
you
not
and
true.
I put
Majority
it all away.
Majority of time I wake you up in the morning.
That's not true. Yeah. That is not true.
It is.
I wake up at 6 every morning. I've snoozed once, maybe, 6:09.
Oh my gosh. 8:30, I get back from my walk and you're still sleeping.
That's not true.
More often than not.
It has happened on nights when I stayed up like drinking beers and watching movies, but smoke cigarettes anymore, and B, I've had very little beer since the new year. I'm trying to be a little healthier.
Yeah.
But so that is my like no, I was so careful.
Yeah.
Because there have been times that I've been like walking up the stairs and like remembering like, oh, I left something.
What do I do that bothers you?
Nothing.
Davey.
Nothing. It's nothing about you that bothers me.
Is it the way I load the toilet paper onto the toilet paper roll? Because you like a outward roll.
Oh, I like it overhand.
And I like an underhand.
Doesn't bother me.
I'm good to the bottom of it.
No, nothing you do bothers me. That's the thing.
Stop.
You're perfect in every way.
Stop.
Okay. That's all I had for funniest moments. Do you have any more?
No, I totally forgot what we were doing here.
Well, let's move on to Friends But Make It Fashion.
Okay.
I'm going to do a twofer here, because there's two animal prints in the same scene.
Yes.
Phoebe's wearing, or Rachel, rather, is wearing like a cheetah print blouse that has like a sash-type belt type thing, right?
Who?
Rachel.
Rachel's wearing a full dress, a full leopard dress.
Oh, it was a dress?
Yeah, like a full-length leopard dress.
It was full-length?
I mean, it was like...
Why did I think it was a blouse?
It was like ankle or like calf length.
Weird. In my head, she's wearing like pants with it.
Mm-mm.
Okay, so she was wearing... You said it was leopard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. It had spots. Yeah. Leopards have spots. Mm-hmm. Cheetahs have spots too, though, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
So what's... How do you tell the difference between leopard and cheetah print? You just know?
I think I just know.
Okay, that's friends and mothers... Do you know the difference between leopard print and cheetah print?
It's like an easy... that's leopard. That's what it was. And then cheetah...
Let's see.
Is... I guess they're similar.
They're very similar, right? Yeah. So...
Leopards and cheetahs look at this. Spots.
They're very similar.
Okay.
But you're right
but
that Rachel's
leopard
was leopard.
Like, the circular thing. They're more like an enclosure.
Like it's shaded.
Yeah.
It has almost like a border.
Yeah. Whereas the other is just like spots.
Free floating spots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're right. It was leopard. So yeah, Rachel's wearing a leopard print dress. I don't know. In my head it was a blouse, but it had like a belt type of thing.
Yeah.
Which was also leopard print. And then Phoebe is wearing a zebra print coat that I loved.
Oh, I didn't know that it's that.
It's when they, I think she puts it on when they're like, we have to go to the apartment. Because then when they get to their apartment, when the first firefighters are there, that's when she's wearing it.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Seems weird. I don't know. I guess it's not actually made of zebra.
Right.
So I guess it's okay for Phoebe as a vegetarian to wear animal prints.
I wear animal prints.
Sure. Yeah.
I feel like animal prints are like neutrals at this point.
Yeah. I bought it at like a thrift store. There was a thrift store in St. Louis that was like it was like an expensive thrift store because it was like very curated, very like John Waters type of style.
Love it.
And at one point, it was called Hullabaloo.
Okay.
And I bought two things that I loved. I bought a purple plaid sport coat that I loved and wore to like drama club banquets, you know, the annual drama club banquet or whatever, whenever I wanted to like. But the other thing I bought there that I loved was a cow print wallet. It wasn't actually made from leather, but it was like, it had that black and white cow print and it was a wallet. And
did
I loved
you?
It.
That reminds me.
You seem unimpressed by a cow print wallet.
No, I like it. I was thinking about a TikTok I watched recently and it was like, this woman was like, discussing and evaluating like the kitchen themes of the 80s and 90s of like what our mom decorated the kitchen as. There was like the cow, the goose, lemons, cherries, country cottage. Like there's just like there's certain ones, and my mom was definitely country cottage.
Yeah,
but there were some like geese thrown in there.
Remember the on the other two, the all the bumblebees. Is that what it was? Bumblebees,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's a good one too. So, friends and mothers, what was your kitchen motif growing up?
And would you know without looking it up the difference between leopard print and cheetah print?
Yeah, these are great questions.
Okay.
Also, for fashion, I have one of the two. Joey looks great in a turtleneck, and Rachel has like a baseball tee that just says girls.
I like that. And then I liked Elizabeth's plaid pants on their ice cream date.
Okay, yeah.
I liked the plaid pants.
Props to the props department. Monica has a bowl of dragon fruit. I think those are dragon fruit.
Yeah, you're right. She did have a bowl of dragon fruit.
And then mazel to the Magna. It was strange. It was like a star with like eels or snakes coming out of them.
Huh.
It was very avant-garde.
Huh. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah.
You sounded just then like Madeline Kahn in Clue.
Okay.
Flames on the sides of his face. You haven't seen Clue, right?
I did, but I wouldn't know how to quote it.
It's I watched it again during the pandemic because it was a favorite of mine as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it again during the pandemic, and I'm sorry to anyone who's my age and has the same nostalgia. Does not hold up.
Mm.
There are moments that hold up like that, and the fact that it's
Madeline Kahn is great.
It's a huge. It's the cast is insane.
Yeah.
It's Madeline Kahn, Tim Curry obviously is the MVP of the movie. Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren. It's an insane cast. And I would say, to a certain extent, worth watching for them and for those good moments. But most of it does not hold up. Mm. It's one of those movies that, like, I think the reason I liked it as a kid is because I fancied myself, like, intelligent. And okay. It's a movie where the humor feels smart, but watching it being an actual adult, it's like, oh, these are such groaningly obvious, like, setup and punchlines.
Yeah.
But it felt so clever to me as a kid.
Right.
Because it was very wordy, you know? All right. This is the most most off-topic episode.
Yeah.
What's under the umbrella?
Okay. I have quite a few. We get Monica saying, "I know," about how great the guest room is. Yeah. And then we also get a "I know" from Joey.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do it in that inflection. Yeah. But yeah, it was something when Phoebe's like, "What's that spell? What's that smell?" And he's like, "I know."
Yeah. And then we also get a reminder that Joey owes Chandler so much money.
Yeah.
Joey hits on Monica a bit. And there's a little bit of gay panic thrown in just for fun because...
Yeah, it's a very stupid thing.
It's very stupid. So Joey is, like, so grateful for Chandler and, like, wants to give him a hug. And the hug is very enthusiastic. And then he says something like, "What are you going to give me if they give you the part?" Like,
yeah.
And then there's also...
Yeah, that's not the part I was talking about.
Are you talking about when Ross is like, "One of my students thinks I'm a hottie"?
Yeah.
And then Rachel's like, "Why are you so sure it's a woman?" And he's like, "Oh, it's definitely a woman." Like, just...
Yeah. Like, I don't get the point of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Monica has a big plate of cookies, and Joey loves pizza.
Yeah, there was... I have most of these things, too. Yeah, Joey... I didn't mention in my recap when Joey... The tag at the end when he forgets what day it is and he goes running out of the apartment to get to his audition, but then he comes back in to grab a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got all of mine.
Okay.
So should we take a quick break?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, we're back from our quick break, and we are ready to jump in with both feet to How I Met Your Mother Season 6, Episode 18, A Change of Heart.
Okay, so yeah, this is like a kind of a literal title of the episode because we start with like a beating ventricle, like heart close up.
Yeah,
so,
it's like a bad like CG. It's like those commercials where like for like medication where like the parts that hurt light up red or whatever. Yes, it kind of looks like that kind of.
So ever since Marshall's father passed away, he is taking his health very seriously, so he gets his heart checked, and then everyone got his heart checked, and he wants to be extra sure, so Marshall goes a second time with a mustache to get his heart checked. Barney's the only one who refuses to go, and he says, "I'm fine." They're all at McLaren's trying to convince him to go in to get his heart checked by the same... They all have the same cardiologist, apparently.
Yeah, played by Susie Nakamura, who is a comic actor who's just been in everything. She's been in episodes of pretty much everything. She's done she's done some Curb Your Enthusiasm. She was on Men of a Certain Age. She's very talented, Susie Nakamura. And I feel like there's probably something big that I'm missing that you would remember her from.
Okay. So they're all hanging out at McLaren's. Robin says she wants a dog, and Marshall is like trying to make a point, like there's a joke about she just needs her hole filled.
Yeah.
Like she's lonely and she's trying to substitute it.
Something else that's going to bury a bone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Barney says that, Robin is like, oh, you're ready for your second date with Nora. And Barney's like, I'm not with Nora. And then he says, like, the number one rule is to never go on two dates with a girl. But then, like, we see all of his dumb rules, like, don't sleep over, don't meet the parents, never blah, blah, blah.
And he always says, I only have one.
Unless they're hot.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So because Nora's hot, he's going to go out with her again. Everyone is saying, like, just admit that you like her. It's fine. Like, quit lying to yourself. Barney is, like, definitely excited about this date because he knows he's going to score with Nora. But he's sick. And then he's sick on a date, and they're at the restaurant, and then Nora's like, you're clearly sick. Let's go, and I'll take care of you. So she nurses him back to health. There's a funny scene there. Robin brings home Nate, but everyone calls him Scooby. And he's a joke. We'll get there later.
Yeah.
So Barney's super afraid of the cardiologist and wants Lily to go with him. And she says, only if you promise not to lie to Nora. Doctor finds, like, a slight arrhythmia.
Yeah.
And our poor dog Darla also has a arrhythmia, like a heart murmur. So it's a regular heartbeat, so he's going to have to wear a monitor. And they're at it. So he's at the date with Nora. He has a little heart monitor. Nora admits that she likes him a lot, and then she is just, like, very, very forthcoming about her desire to get married and start a family. And she goes into detail, like, she doesn't want to beat around the bush. Like, she wants what she wants. And Barney says to her, that's exactly what I want too. And then we see a cut to Lily slapping Barney because he promised her that he wasn't going to lie. They're all at McLaren's with Nate, and I think it's Marshall who is like, he's a dog. She wanted one, and he behaves like a dog in every possible way.
Yeah.
Like, it's very funny. Nora comes to McLaren's. She had to use the bathroom, and she wanted to meet the friends. And then she also wanted to kind of, like, get the scoop about Barney, like, to his friends. Like, oh, I didn't know he was, like, such a romantic. He's a, you know, such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about him. And then they all want to be honest with her about what a dick Barney is and what a creep he is. But they all lie, and it's, like, it's difficult for them to lie to her.
Because he's got blackmail. He's got dirt on everyone.
Oh, yeah. He has dirt on everyone. It sounds like Barney secretly does want three kids and a pool, and it sounds great. Lily punches Marshall. He goes into cardiac arrest, and he said he's not lying. He says, I think I'm falling in love, and I'll spill the dirt if you tell Nora any of this. So he has dirt on Lily's guinea pig in the class, Ted's ballet class, thermos? What was the thermos story?
We don't know.
We don't know the thermos story.
That was Ted's,
okay.
Thermos.
Yeah. Robin's Mr. Teen Dream, and
you can kind of do the math on that, I think.
Marshall's calzone, when he dropped the calzone on the floor and eats it from a city street. So the friends lie to him and say, like, he's genuinely a nice guy. And Nora says, well, my parents are in town. They come once a year. And she invites him to meet them. And he said, I'd love to meet your parents. But that's another one of the rules that Barney has. Never meet parents, not even if she's hot.
Not even if the mom's hot.
Yeah, not even if the mom's hot. So Robin has to go into work and leave Scooby with Ted. Which is, like, Ted's greatest, like, fear, because, like, when Robin said she wanted a dog, he's like, well, I'm just going to end up having to take care of the dog. And that's exactly what's happening with Scooby.
Yeah.
Scooby is running around the park and finds a big bag of pot, which they call sandwiches, because yeah. Ted's talking to his kids about this. They end up eating all of the, baking all of the sandwiches. So they make pot brownies, sandwich brownies. And Nate like gets into the whole thing and eats the entire like tray of brownies, and they're all high and they're eating calzones. And so they're all looking for him. They call Robin. She's in a cab. Everyone's looking for Scooby. Barney is walking Nora home from her date, and he admits to her, oh, by the way, she invites him up, and then he admits, like, oh, by the way, I just wanted to tell you, I lied. I was, like, saying all this just because I wanted to sleep with you. She slaps him, and he says, I'm sorry I misled you, and she leaves, and she's heartbroken. Barney is at the cardiologist, and she says, you have a healthy heart. And Lily is on to him and said, like, you lied about lying. You do really want those things. And then she asked the cardiologist first of all, when the date, like, started, and he asked her to, or Lily asked the cardiologist for the readout of, like, 8:30 last night or whatever for the date, yeah. And his heart literally skipped a beat.
Yeah.
And so there's a whole, but, like, listen to your heart, you know, like, do what your heart wants. We see Nora at brunch with her parents, and we see what we think is Barney having a change of heart and going in and meeting the parents and being genuine to her and saying he really cares about her and is great with the parents. But in actuality, Barney is, like, outside looking in at what could have been and walks away.
Yeah.
Chickens out. He doesn't do a magic trick for Nora's dad.
Yeah.
So that's sad. And then the very end tag is 2006, and we see Marshall drop the calzone on the city street, yeah. Pick it up, take a bite, and then Barney is, like, staring at him in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. My only little note about that is that Barney's holding a phone that is clearly a post-2006 phone.
Yes.
That's something that bothered me about that. So, first off, I knew there was something else. So Susan Nakamura, for the first two seasons of The West Wing, was Sam's assistant, Rob Lowe's assistant.
Oh, okay.
So I know we watched that together, so I figured you might remember of that. And I was so busy looking that up that I can't remember if you mentioned or not that when Nora is taking care of Barney, that she helps him use a neti pot.
Yes.
Did you mention that?
No, I didn't.
I've done that once.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It worked for, like, a few minutes, and then I was stuffed up again. But it's also foolish. If you're going to use a neti pot, which is where you pour water, like, in one nostril, the water is supposed to have been boiled and then cooled first.
Yes.
You can get, like,
bacteria.
Like, brain infections from that. And I didn't do that when I did the one time that I did the neti pot. So be careful. If you're going to use a neti pot, boil the water, but then also, in case this needs to be said, don't pour boiling water in your nostril. Wait for it to cool down again.
Some people swear by it. Yeah, it kind of freaks me out because I don't trust myself to not give myself, like, a brain bacteria.
Brain infection, yeah. Yeah. Scooby is played by an actor named Robbie Amell or whatever. He's a Canadian actor. He's been in a bunch of stuff. And his cousin is Stephen Amell. From Arrow, CW's Arrow.
Yeah.
They're cousins.
He did, like, meet and greet with my nephew. Did I tell you that?
You met Stephen Amell?
No, my nephew did.
Oh.
Like, he went one of those, like, meet and greet events for Hometown Heroes.
Like Gold Star Families?
Yes, yeah. He, like, showed up and did like, a, I don't know, fun day with Steve Amell.
And our nephew was like,
cool, I don't care.
I don't know this Canadian pretty boy.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny when when Susie Nakamura tells Barney that he has a slight arrhythmia, he, because he's so scared, he grabs Lily's arm, and she says something about, like, Barney nails, which is a reference, or like, a reminder that Barney gets regular manicures and probably has nice nails. And then finally, the song at the end.
Wait, are you going into your funniest, or this is just straight observations?
These are straight observations. The song at the end, I had to, like, Shazam it, because I was like, I don't know this Ben Folds song. It wasn't Ben Folds. It's some lame Ben Folds sound-alike called Barbarossa. Okay. And the song is called Stones.
Okay.
I didn't think it was a good song, but I also don't think most Ben Folds songs are good songs, so don't.
There's one good one, and it's Brick.
Brick?
Yeah.
It's all right.
I like it.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the funniest moments. What do you got?
When there's, like, the whole medley of Nora, like, nursing him back to health. There's, like, a violin, like, Rockabye Baby soundtrack along with it, but it turns out she's actually playing the violin for him.
I like that. All of mine are about Scooby being a dog.
Okay,
so
I have,
funny.
Yes.
There's a part where Marshall tells Scooby that the tag is hanging out the back of his shirt, and he's like, where? And he, like a dog chasing his tail, he chases the tag around in circles.
I couldn't write fast enough because there were so many, like, funny dog puns.
The puns... Okay, you go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
We want to make sure he's properly vetted. Stop hounding him. You don't want him to flee. This is an incredible journey. Stay. Sit.
It must have been rough.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what else they said.
Something about claws.
Oh, yeah. Pause. I hope our questions don't give you pause.
Yes. Yes. also, when Nate's talking about the squirrels getting in his tomato garden, he's like, get out of here. Get out of here.
Well, okay. Two things. I want to... you said the guy stop hounding him thing, but what's funny about that is that was an accidental one. Everybody else is doing these puns, and then Robin doesn't like it, and she says, guys, stop hounding him. And then he's like, yeah. I know you are not a... Not that you dislike it, but you never were into Malcolm in the Middle.
No.
Right? So I liked Malcolm in the Middle, and I liked Reese, Malcolm's older brother. Not his older brother, who was in military academy, but the older brother. Reese was the funniest character, and he was like a little, like, miscreant weirdo. And there's an episode where Reese becomes friends with all of the neighborhood dogs.
Oh,
like, they get out at night and run around together.
You told me about this.
And at one point, the dogs, like, roll over for him and make him, like, the alpha or the pack leader. But the funniest part of the episode is when they're just sitting at home and the mailman comes and Reese starts yelling out the window, like, hey, this is our house. Get away from here.
I also really like the Ted and Marshall, like, throwing him a frisbee and him catching it in his mouth.
Yeah. I want to address the fact that I'm wheezing. Like I said, I haven't smoked a cigarette in a month, but I did work out pretty hard this morning. I did some real cardio.
Yeah.
And it seems to be bringing up some residual, I don't know.
Yeah, you're a real Wheezy Jefferson over here.
Yeah, I am a real Wheezy Jefferson. And then I have one more.
Okay.
Just the fact they keep saying... After Scooby eats all of the brownies and the doors open, they keep saying, Scooby got out. And that's just funny to me that he's like...
Yeah.
Any pretense this is a grown man goes out the window.
Yeah.
Like, even when they call Robin, for a second I thought Robin was going to say, like...
He's not a dog.
He's a grown man. But no, he says, you guys have to go out and look for Scooby.
I'll be on my way. Yeah. And then he's peeing on a fire hydrant. And he runs
and
in the middle of
traffic.
And then
I guess he gets hit by a car?
Yeah.
At the end?
It's sad.
That's sad.
So this show is not, you know, Friends is, like, huge with, like, weird product placements, but do you notice Barney drinking a Vita Coco?
No, he used to drink Red Bull all the time.
Okay, he's on to Vita Coco.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Under the Umbrella, I'll start. There's a lot of it.
Wait, we skipped fashion.
Oh, you're right. We did skip fashion. You know why? Because I didn't have it.
Okay, there's a... Nora's wearing a statement necklace, and Robin has some weird, like, wrist cuffs. Like, she's wearing a blouse with, like, leather cuffs. and they're not cute.
But they're like ribbed, like she's wearing a. It's almost like she's wearing a bunch of leather bangles.
Yes.
But it's part of the sleeve.
Yeah.
Bad stuff.
Bad blouse. Umbrella.
Okay, on the umbrella. Okay, I'll go. Okay. I mean, you mentioned sandwiches. You mentioned Barney almost doing a magic trick.
Mm-hmm.
Marshall refers to himself as Big Fudge, which is, we learned from the episode where he goes to the Minnesota bar. That's his, like, I can't remember what it is, pinball, a river, like, arcade That's game. His, He's yes. Big Fudge, and he has the record. We get a wait for it. Mm-hmm. We get a legend.
Achoo.
Legend, wait for it. And then we never get to Derry because he sneezes.
Yeah.
And we get Lily saying, "You son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch."
You mentioned sandwiches. And then finally, the brunch at the end is where every brunch is on How I Met Your Mother. It's at the Popover Pantry.
Popover Pantry. Also slapping. That's a huge theme of this show.
That's right. Yeah.
And Marshall says, like, to Robin, "I would slap you if you weren't so much stronger than I am."
Yeah. I forgot. You mentioned Nora slapping Barney.
Yeah.
But, like, this is all in How I Met Your Mother fashion. This is a flashback that is Barney telling the story to Lily and the doctor.
Yeah.
And so Nora slaps Barney, and then it cuts back to the present, and Lily slaps Barney, and then the doctor slaps Barney.
Yeah. Yeah. And she also, Lily, like, punches him as hard as can be in the stomach.
And in the chest.
Yeah.
And he has a mild cardiac event.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything under the umbrella?
No, I don't think so.
Well, let's move on to similarities. You already pointed out a big, the only one that I have.
Okay, so yeah, dropping food and eating it off the ground or carpet. There's baking, so Monica bakes pie and cookies, and the gang bakes brownies.
Sandwich brownies.
Let's see. Oh, okay, reading magazines. So Lily is reading a magazine in the cardiologist's office, and Phoebe's reading a timeout on the couch with her boots.
Okay.
Also, I think that Nate is, like, significantly younger than Robin, or at least it seemed. So bringing home a date that seems immature or younger.
Oh, immature. Okay, yeah. I'm going to look this up, though, and see who's what the age difference is.
Okay. Kissing. There's some kissing in both episodes. And references to taking embarrassing classes. So Chandler took a mime class.
Yeah.
In college.
Oh, right.
And Ted took a ballet class.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe also in college.
So let's see. Kobe Smulders was born in April of 1982. So she's a little bit older than I am, but not much. And Robbie Amell was born in April of 1988. So she is almost exactly 6 years
it's
younger.
It's no Elizabeth Ross, but it's somewhat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all I have.
Okay, well, time to play favorites.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, this was a good episode. I love when Barney is genuine. This was kind of a sad episode, but also a good one.
Yeah. The Friends thing, I mean, it's a good Joey episode, I think. But it's a bad Ross episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it also feels like I'm going to have to put up with this for a little while. It doesn't feel like this is a one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm annoyed. But I think just one more.
Okay. I mean, this episode for How I Met Your Mother was very Barney heavy, very emotional.
Yeah.
But also, they balance it out with the Scooby stuff.
Yes, like,
It's like BoJack Horseman. It's like a show that has, like, super heavy character-driven emotional psychological stuff paired with the silliest shit you've ever seen in your life.
I forgot another similarity. I mentioned before about Dana Keystone, played by Bess Meyer, who was also in Doogie Howser.
Oh!
Yeah, so there you go.
I'm going to look up Bess Meyer Heathers and see, because I've seen that so many times.
Yeah.
That I feel like I would remember her. But, that's her.
Yeah.
Because Heather or Veronica in Heathers works for the school newspaper.
She's and a stoner. They
do, Bess Meyer plays a stoner. So they do, for people who don't know Heathers, they do a daily lunchtime poll that then they print the results in the next day's paper.
Yeah.
And so, the stoner girl that gets repeatedly throughout the movie. It's a recurring thing that they do this lunchtime poll, and the stoner girl is one of the girls who answers the questions.
Okay. Her name is Tracy.
That's the character's name?
That's the character's
okay.
name.
Okay, so let's catch up on our correspondence. We have one from... Where'd it go? Alex, whom we heard from last week, and... Stupid Twitter app. I blame Elon Musk. I had it called up, and then it reset. So yeah, the last episode we recorded the night that it posted.
Okay, yes, you know? Yes.
So Alex says, I was surprised to hear last night's email the next day at work. So he had written that email that day.
Oh, wow.
We read it, and then like within like 6 hours, he heard it.
Instant.
Yeah, he said, I guess you must have recorded it in L.A. in the evening during the small hours here. And then he says, in regards to Estonian Independence Day, it's still relevant. Because Estonia became independent. We talked about Estonia becoming independent from Germany in 1918. But Estonia became independent again from the USSR in 1991 and joined NATO, or else, Alex speculates, Estonia might have suffered some of the same fate that Ukraine is going through right now, of being invaded by Russia, if it had not joined NATO. So that's what Alex says. And then Steph sent us an email. Steph likes to keep us guessing.
Yeah.
About how she's going to reach
out to us. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. Okay. This is a long one. Hello, David and Natalie. Allow me to educate you and the listeners on the history of Carbonara, or the story as I heard it. Apparently, the American GIs were missing their hearty breakfast of bacon and eggs during World War II. Ingredients of carbonara are pancetta, ham, and eggs. So you were right about the eggs.
Yes.
Which we knew, but just for the record. The difficult part of making the dish is to get the eggs to the correct temperature. Too hot, they cook too fast. I tried. Fun fact about my family, my granddad was shot in Italy. The bullet barely grazed his nostril, and he was able to be discharged.
Wow.
And then she says, what else? I like in the middle of an email.
Covering all the bases.
I have a boss who will do this, who will like be like writing an email to me like saying, do this. And then I'll have a second paragraph. He's like, on second thought, let me look this up. Like, he didn't go back and change the email. He's just like, right. Like he's talking to
me.
I like it.
Stream of consciousness.
Yeah. And Steph says, sushi order. As it turns out, I am planning a trip for Tokyo in October.
Wow.
So jealous.
So jealous.
So jealous.
We'll get there.
Fingers crossed. And as the late Anthony Bourdain once said, how can you call yourself a world traveler if you don't eat the food? Or something like that. Absolutely.
Agreed.
You gotta eat the food. Yeah, I know he used to like complain about like tourists who eat every meal in the hotel or whatever. You know,
yeah.
You gotta go eat the
or
food.
At the chain restaurants that everyone's familiar
right?
with.
Yeah. Although I will, when I was 17 years old, I spent 2 weeks in Europe with a group of other students, and the last country, it was 2 weeks, and the last country was Italy, and I remember we in Venice, a bunch of us did just go to McDonald's, because we were like, I think we were homesick.
Yeah.
And it was this like, gave us some like taste of home that we went to McDonald's.
They also have Venice. Like regional menu items, like specific
yeah.
menu
You know,
items.
There's a McDonald's, I guess, like corporate headquarters are in Chicago, and there's a McDonald's on site there that has a rotating menu
of all the different.
So if you're there at the right time, you might be able to get the like sag paneer from like McDonald's India or whatever like fun thing.
Yeah.
Next time we're in Chicago, one of the world's great cities, we should go there.
Yeah, we got to go see that rat hole.
Yeah, go see the rat hole. We let's renew our vows at the
in
rat hole.
In front of the rat hole.
Yeah. Okay. So, Steph says she's psyching herself up for sushi. How can I visit the land of the rising sun and not? My tireless research has discovered Singapore Airlines and their very reasonable ticket prices from LAX, if you two are interested.
Ooh.
We'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
When the time has come for my trip, I will need you to set an itinerary for a very speedy tour of La La Land, as I can't stand the idea of flying continuously from Atlanta to Tokyo.
Yeah.
So yeah, let us know.
Absolutely.
Where are you going to be? Obviously, being near the airport.
What time of year
what time of... She says October,
okay.
But it's not... Nothing's set in stone.
Okay.
So yeah, let us know. We will tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, also, coffee order. I would try to patronize a mom and pop if possible, but here at work we have a Starbucks. Coffee mocha with almond milk is my go-to. In Disney, I have a shaky Jamaican cold brew from Joffrey's. The actual name is Shaken Jamaican. So I guess she calls it a shaky Jamaican, which I am all for. David, I hope Sundance was amazing. It was a good time. And then she says, Atsuka Resamedeshita, thank you for your hard work. She's learning her, brushing up on her Japanese for her trip to Tokyo. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not the person to ask. I would, I guess, ask a Japanese person, what is the best way to prepare for eating sushi in Japan in the U.S.? Because I feel like...
it's very different.
Yeah, like I was talking about those like crazy like dragon rolls with all the like crunchy stuff on them, and like that's not...
no.
I'm sure that's not like common in Japan. Yeah, I guess the regular stuff. I mean, I think like even rolls, I think, are more... my understanding is that sashimi is more what's eaten in Japan than sushi rolls.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. I don't know. Any listeners who know,
let us know. Steph is like a huge world traveler, so I'm sure... you know, I'm sure she's very, very savvy, but I get overwhelmed by just like the tech and how much of a culture shock it would be to like operate. Everything's like automated, and it seems very overwhelming to my middle-aged brain, but it would be a curve, a learning curve.
I follow Steph on Instagram, and she and her daughter did post a picture from a sushi restaurant where there was some sashimi in front of them. So they are preparing. But I also you reminded me of my friend. We've had a number of friends who have visited Japan. Our friend George told me a story that he was in Japan, and he stepped outside of his like Airbnb and had a cigarette. And he put it out on the sidewalk, and then he went in to get something to clean it up. And by the time he came out, the little old lady next door was like, had a dustpan and was like sweeping up his cigarette.
Yeah.
But he just went inside to get something to clean it up, but they like,
No
cigarettes on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
Not a smoker anymore.
Yeah. So I'm very interested in learning about Steph's itinerary and then copying it for ourselves.
Yeah, that's what we do
eventually.
All right, that's our correspondence. If I missed any, please send it again and feel free to chastise me. Moving on to my favorite segment to introduce. This is a segment called How Were We Doing. This is where we look at what was happening in the world on the days that these episodes aired. So season 6 episode 18 of Friends, the one where Ross dates a student, aired on Thursday, March 9th in the year 2000. Let's see. What happened? Wait, do I have the right one? Thursday, March 9th, 2000. Ba-ba-ba. Let's see. Where is the... yeah, okay. So, a man named Eli Sakai was arrested by the FBI in New York City. Eli Sakai was... a Jewish Iranian who became an American citizen and was very successful as an art dealer and collector. But it turns out he was paying immigrants to copy famous artworks and sell them. Oh, and this came up because one day Christie's and Sotheby's both realized they had... the same, I think it was a Gauguin painting for auction, and they traced it back to this guy, and he got arrested and charged and convicted. But weirdly, he's not an art dealer anymore, but he still works as like a curator in the art world.
Weird. I guess like, he has,
he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. But so he was, I love learning things from this segment, you know?
Yeah.
Top 5 songs in the U.S. on that day. Top 5 songs in the U.S. At number 5, Montel Jordan's Get It On Tonight. Nope. Falling to number 4, Savage Garden's I Knew I Loved You Before I Met You. At number 3, Faith Hill, I Can Feel You Breathe Is Washing Over Me. And suddenly... at number 2, Santana's Maria Maria.
Oh.
Ugh. Is that Wyclef?
You remind me of a West Side Story.
Yeah,
I think
it's Wyclef, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then going from number 5 to number 1, Lone Stars, Maybe I'm Amazed by You.
Oh, yeah. Did anyone watch that video?
No one watched the video. Yeah. That we know of. Maybe they watched it and just didn't let us know. So, season 6, episode 18 of How I Met Your Mother, A Change of Heart, aired on Monday, February 28th, 2011. And I will mention 2 deaths. I know that's sad.
Yeah.
But 2 deaths. The first one is, he has a funny name, but it's not a funny thing. His name was Frank Buckles.
Aww.
He was the last surviving American veteran of the First World War.
Wow.
He died at 110 years old.
Wow.
Right?
Buckles.
Yeah. So he would have been, that's 2011, so he would have been born in 1901 or 1900, wow. Which means he would have been just a kid. When he went to World War One, the other death is the actress Jane Russell, which is an interesting person who is probably at this point best known for Gentlemen Prefer Blondes,
mm-hmm.
Which is the movie that essentially cemented Marilyn Monroe as Marilyn Monroe,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting to think about. Because other than like a small but notable part in All About Eve, there's not a lot notable that Marilyn Monroe did before Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Right.
But it's interesting to think that like Jane Russell would have been, she was the star. You know?
Also,
well, let me finish my thought.
Sorry.
That the studio with Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, like Jane Russell was the draw and Marilyn Monroe was the second fiddle, but it was such a breakout role for her that now it's like, it's funny, maybe kind of sad, that the one thing that people know Jane Russell for now is being the other person in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes.
Yeah.
But good actress. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes is a great movie, by the way. Love it.
I got really excited because she went to Van Nuys High School.
Oh!
Jane Russell.
She's a Valley girl.
She's a Valley girl.
I love it. RIP Jane Russell and Frank Buckles. Thank you for your service. Final segment on this show. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no. I didn't do the top 5 songs in the U.S.
Yeah.
I was talking about dead people, and I didn't do the top 5 songs. At number 5, Katy Perry's Maybe I'll Find Work. At number 4, Dr. Dre, I Need a Doctor. At number 3, Bruno Mars, Grenade. Showing up at number 2, CeeLo Green's Fuck You. I see you running around town with the girl I love, and I'm like, fuck you. Or Forget You is the radio version.
Right.
And lame. Also the version that Gwyneth Paltrow sang on Glee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lame. Fuck You is better.
Yeah.
And at number 1, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Hey, I was Lady Gaga, Born This Way. Another great song. Some good stuff. Firework, Fuck You, and Born This Way.
Yeah. Bangers.
Yeah. Let's just ignore the Bruno Mars song. All right, final segment is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to predict what's going to happen next week on both shows, armed only with knowledge of the episode title. Okay, this is going to be your call.
Okay.
I wrote, Creepy Ross looks for a moral loophole that will let him date a much, much younger person.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens in this episode?
Yeah, I'd give it to you.
Okay. So, well, I'm actually leading. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to jinx it. You said Zoe decides she likes boats after all and goes sailing back to the captain.
Yeah, no mention of Zoe.
Yeah, Zoe wasn't even in the episode.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to look up the next couple episodes, but I am going to need you to vamp with our holiday fearless flyer still.
Yeah, come on. Organic jumbo cinnamon rolls. Sliced prosciutto, mandarins, family style lasagna, mini quiche duo, shrimp pouches of many colors, figgy cheddar.
Okay.
Chocolate hazelnut coffee.
You think that figgy cheddar's any good?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be goopy.
I think it might be nice.
Oh, you're still there. All right, season 6, episode 19 of Friends is called The One with Joey's Fridge. I'm going to say that Rachel's still living there. Right?
Okay.
Because the apartment's not ready yet.
Okay.
And this is... I've been saying since Chandler moved in and Rachel moved out that the end game... My prediction was the end game was Rachel moving in with Joey. I've been saying that...
Okay.
Since it happened.
All right.
So, I think this might be how they get there. Okay. But right now, she's still staying there. So, I'm going to say... Rachel is grossed out by the things in Joey's fridge, but she is her father's daughter, so maybe she can fix it.
Yeah.
It's a Olivia Rodrigo lyric, the father's daughter part, but I'm gonna say she, yeah, maybe she can fix him, so she tries to teach him to be healthier and not be disgusting.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay.
Season 6, episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother is called Legend Daddy.
Legend Daddy. Okay. So obviously it's a legendary joke. Let's see. Do you think, well, you know, but is Marshall finally going to be a daddy? No, this is going to be a Barney episode because he's the one who says legend. Wait for it. So he's going to imagine, he's going to become, he's going to meet his father.
That's, I was like, what is Barney's storyline?
Sorry, I'm not running on all cylinders.
That's
today.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, Barney.
We'll find out who Daddy is, and it will be Daddy. Legend Daddy.
Yeah. So I mean, you're gonna get this one. Do you want to take any guesses as to who the guest star is? Do you want to, or do you want to be surprised?
Didn't we already talk about?
We talked about
Dave Foley.
That's Marshall, future boss. I'm talking about who do you think plays Barney's dad? It is someone who is not a comedian. It's an actor. I mean, he's been funny before, but anyway, I don't know if you want to guess, if you just want to be surprised.
I want to be surprised.
Okay. Then I think that's it. That's the end of the episode.
That's it.
You can find the podcast wherever you found it. You've already proven your mettle as far as that goes, but you can also find posts for every episode at battleshipretention.com, where you can leave a comment. You can email us the way Steph did at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. You can at me on Blue Sky or Twitter, like Alex did, at Davey Pretension. And yeah, make sure to check out my other podcast, Battleship Pretension. We're gearing up to do an episode on the films of Terrence Davies, director Terrence Davies, who passed away recently. That should be, if I posted everything right by the time you're hearing this, that should be the most recent episode.
Okay.
That's Battleship Pretension. So that's where you can find me on the internet. Natalie, where do you want people to find you on the internet?
I don't, but if you like this episode, you should rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, give us 5 stars, or tell us why we don't deserve them. Let us know where you're traveling to. Let us know. There were so many calls to action.
Oh, yeah.
I think we've already gone through them.
Well, let me, because I kept track of most of them. So what's your go-to hangover cure? What was your kitchen motif as a child? And do you think you can eyeball the difference between leopard print and cheetah print without looking it up?
Exactly. All right. Until next time, we'll be in our room at Hotel Monica.
Oh!